And welcome, welcome, welcome here on your number one talk radio station of Eagle FM. And as you transition from the in-depth discussion and also sort of like interactive platform known as the Home Run, you now transition over here into my company in terms of the business and economic zone. Now, where we find ourselves, guys, is, as mentioned, and I'm just resuscitating, you know, just jogging your memory again to stay tuned in terms of where we left off last night. So last night's discussion centered on or introduced the importance of research and development in the striving to achieve the fourth industrial revolution. That was last night. And I'm letting you know again for those callers that could not come through last night in terms of me providing you with all the information and discussion points centered in last night. You can still come through tonight. If you don't have the studio number, if you don't have the studio line, it's 083-288-401. Remember, 083-288-401. But don't come through now. Don't come through now. From 7 o'clock. Come through from 7 o'clock. So, we transitioned from last night's the importance or looking at how, you know, why research and development aims to be key to the continuous growth or the continuous industrial growth of a country's economy. It then makes us jump into the next sort of like compartmentalized discussion, being that of what's the role of education in it? What's the role in the drive for the fourth industrial revolution or getting or achieving or walking there or driving? It doesn't matter what we do, as long as we achieve that level. Now, I'm going to recap for you in terms of just what came through from the just resuscitating once again, what the chairperson of the Fourth Industrial Revolution, the chair lady of the Fourth Industrial Revolution Task Force that was set up or established last year, whose term ended at the end of July 2022. They provided their feedback and their final report yesterday in terms of that news item that we brought to you here on your number one talk radio station. I'll just resuscitate your memory to focus back into what Professor Anicia Peters mentioned at that information session with the head of state, President Hagagayingo. And for that matter, just have a listen to what she added here in terms of, well, let's face it, how some of the issues from the fourth industrial revolution actually led to the education component. Let's have a listen.
So, what were the results? Now, off the bat, I must say that it is the first time that Namibia was actually scored on the World Economic Forum's Future of Production instrument. We will see the score a little bit later in the slides, but it is quite a significant contribution that we are making, that we can now see where we are, how well we are performing in comparison also to other countries. So, on the assessment, we shortened it to CRA. The preconditions for digital infrastructure is, we found that Namibia performs relatively well. These are perceptions of CEOs and heads of organizations and institutions and individuals. The whole framework is based on perceptions. So this is what Namibians are seeing, that we're performing relatively well on digital infrastructure, especially using the internet. We have 51% people using the internet. Cellular phone subscriptions is good. 21% of Namibian households have a computer, which is very similar to South Africa. However, mobile data is perceived to be expensive in Namibia in comparison also to other countries when we did the secondary data reviews. But their reliability and speed was considered as average. Cybercrime is a big problem for Namibia. It is a high risk in Namibia, especially the lack of legislation. And we see that we are lagging behind some of our peer countries in SADC who have cybercrime legislation such as Botswana, Mauritius, South Africa, and Zimbabwe. And then we used additional instruments such as the Network Readiness Index to sort of see how well we are performing in terms of other countries. So this one is relatively well that we are performing if we would just look at some key matters. Another matter is electricity provision. So energy provision is problematic for Namibia with only 56% electricity coverage. However, again, we are not performing the worst in the region. So we are performing about average. There is room for improvement, much room for improvement, but we were not found to be amongst the lowest countries within Africa. Next. Another precondition for the 4IR is education. Education will bubble up at several places within the survey, but also with stakeholder engagement. There is, with most of the findings and the CRA, there is a correlation with what we have found with stakeholders as well. Education is a central ingredient for the 4IR. But one of the things is to adopt advanced digital technologies and actually to create them. It means that we have to change how we develop educational offerings in complex fields, such as AI, advanced robotics, biotechnology, new materials.
Now, there you have it in terms of just, I know it took a long-winded and also a long approach, a long street, you know, getting to the point. But before that, we quickly go for ad break.
Kukuruga na yowamba, kukuningisa ozere, nukuse spika nompito domgara mokagura mkisigemeke. Ramangako, uwera o HIV. Ayo, kupopera, tani kuiruga na maokoko. Tokoras gara, ninka wakuruga na yowamba. Mokutura mwe hundiro liye yowamba zuma okoko, zimo guanakuma pukuru gomanzi. Tumako WhatsApp kwa nomoro zoe utantandatu zime, tatwe utantane, mbali ntambali, mbali ntane. Ndidingura kwa Facebook kwa VMMC Namibia.
Now, as we come back from our short break, the main thing that the chairperson of the Fourth Industrial Revolution Task Force noted there was how education bubbles up, and I'm quoting verbatim, word for word, her words, how education shows its face, shows its identity, sticks out its little hand at several stages throughout the research work that this task force had to do. Education and the Fourth Industrial Revolution. Because the key component thing here, and this is something I mentioned last night, or actually in a little snippet, this would ultimately mean that we would have to, well, essentially look once again at our primary, secondary and tertiary levels of education in the country. In some formats, in some of my literature review that I did before today's program, some components, some researchers, some academics are speaking about higher education, the role of higher education. That would be based upon the assumption that secondary and primary education levels had done their part or had played their role to bring a growing Namibian adolescent to a specific point. That point being heading into the university phase. So the basics would have been laid in primary. The basics would then have been modified and expanded on in secondary. And then the secondary makes you ready to engage new thought process or new ways of thinking in the tertiary level. However, a lot of these literature resources or the literature review I had to conduct, a lot of these sources agree with a similar component or with a similar thought, sort of like school of thought, that the way information is now becoming more accessible to all of us. Don't worry about mis and disinformation aspects and all the other kind of stuff. The ease at which we can access information makes our learning ability, or actually accelerates a learning ability even quicker. You get to adopt something quicker. You get to move or actually be informed about an event even quicker. Now, it's key here because Peters herself indicated most of our focus to an extent, and this is not in the audio parts that we had on the Business at 2 slot in yesterday's session. Most of the audio parts, or the audio part that includes the focus on the STEAM or the STEM fields. STEAM is where you just add the A in terms of sort of that it spells that it includes the arts field. If you take STEM, it's just science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. If you add the A, it includes arts. But with the arts component, it has a flair of creativity to it. But just for the STEM fields on itself, you know, the key has always becoming, you know, being skilled up in those various fields. However, the rapid way in which the task force witnessed, the rapid way in which the world out there is growing or actually changing is speaking towards a skilling up or speaking towards sort of like, what do they call it? Refresher. There was at one stage I heard this word a lot. Refreshing your skills or touching base once again with knowledge base in terms of being up to date with the latest trends and doing a task or doing a job or doing something or making use of a latest technology component or accessing a different silo of information or making use of a new communication medium. Usually these are associated to the social media platforms, but in all, it links into the same aspect of either you generating information and data or transmitting it or having access to it. Whatever you do with the data and the information, it's up to you. But it's a key component of having access to it, knowing of it or broadcasting it, or being able to learn from that data and also the platforms that you actually extract it from, and then what you make use of it. Currently, right now, what we see, it's always all about the social media platforms. But not many of us know that actually these platforms have multiple uses to them. Wherein true knowledge sharing capabilities come through in the form of IE, establishing various components. Like, you can share school notes, you can share information, you can share business information components, you can share scientific information components. I mean, I don't use my Facebook account for sharing photos about my family and events I went to. Not really. I find either funny things to share, like funny memes, or I find really insightful and truth or factual information bits to share. The second also, if you go onto Twitter, Twitter is a treasure trove. I'd call it actually like it's a information rich depository. Yeah. Archive center. A treasure trove. Slightly more informative than Facebook. But Facebook is slightly more ergonomically useful than Twitter. In both scenarios, you can extract so much information. I'm not even adding in YouTube as well. And these are the technologies. Remember, I'm just talking about social media platforms here. I'm giving you an example of the smallest example of these social media platforms. But all in all, much of the major concerns has been the automation component, the fourth industrial revolution, or not fourth industrial revolution, sorry, automation and artificial intelligence components that the task force had to assess. And they realized at every level, it's either a research and development component that attributes or bounces back into an education component, meaning upskilling or upgrading of an education system at one other point. And still onto that, sharing with you currently, and this comes from one of my literature, my literature review sources in terms of where they note here that this fourth industrial revolution has not just transformed the whole of educational landscape, but it will take some time for it to really gain momentum in the education landscape. However, there needs to be a change at which we look at the way we are currently learning. The way or the rate at which we are currently learning and gaining information or extracting information for us to learn and to skill up. There is a critical emphasis being placed on the way education will have to also play its part. Look, guys, I really feel sorry because just 2 years back, the Ministry of Basic Education, as I mentioned last night, they introduced the A-levels. And the A-levels was, from discussions I've heard, was almost like a 10-year evaluation. It was almost like a 10-year process before it got rolled out, before it was fully introduced or fully rolled out across the country. And for the better part of last year, 2021, a lot of parents didn't understand what this A-level thing meant. They were like, what is this? We still have to grasp, or we still have to cope with the pandemic, and now we have to understand that there's a change to the secondary education platform or the secondary education system. And the worst case scenario was there where some of our local universities, not some, or let me say one or two, had their differing opinions, but these same universities were also hesitant in saying, or in terms of saying, like, yes, we fully stand behind this new education system. Until once again, at the end of last year, beginning of this new year, of this year, 2022, we had to revisit that discussion. We had to revisit that same scenario. Because understand this, guys. If you come and tell me that the universities have to be in the same ship with the secondary schools or with secondary education, the tertiary institutions will say, listen, we have a standard to maintain. We are trying to roll out our mandates. It's not we do not have a mandate of accommodation. If it is a mandate of accommodation, the accommodation aspect has to be that the learners must qualify, meaning the standards set by the tertiary institutions must be the standards that every school, whether it be private or government, private or public, needs to abide by. It needs to abide by. And you guys remember what was the major disconnect that took place? What we here at Eagle FM discovered. Wherein some of the universities had indicated, listen, if you qualify, if the previous grade 12 standard, if this learner makes grade 12, if the learner gets an O level or gets into the A level scenario, meaning they decide to complete the 12th year of education, the requirement is that year should allow them to qualify into the first year, the year after that. If they exit at the 11th year, meaning grade 11, indicating towards you and me, that they actually feel like that they've completed the necessary schooling level, but they want to go from grade 11 to university, the university will tell them, we can't take you. But the basic education system says, yes, you are allowed to exit from grade 11, but the university won't take you. But you can exit, but the university won't take you because you don't have the necessary basic education or basic secondary components to meet a requirement of the universities. Now, they might have adjusted them between last year into this year as well. They might have adjusted them, but here's the main thing still. This now puts further onus or further emphasis and further responsibility in the corner of the tertiary institutions to now have a juggling act. Because here's the thing. Universities are actually supposed to be your centers or your silos for research and development. I gave you, we spoke about R&D last night. I didn't give you where R&D should be placed in some components, because you do get private R&D or private research and development exercises, and you get public ones or affiliated higher education R&D. You get them. Now, if you want R&D to take place, you want the best students, or you want the students that actually meet the requirements to qualify, to make it to the university. You don't want students that come there and you still have to fill in gaps, or you need them to do a bridging course or a bridging year just to get up to speed with workload, how to think, how to adapt to university lifestyles, how to think as now someone in this academic space of university life. That should not be the role of the university, to babysit you. to tell you, listen, we need to now lead you to the promised land in order for you to be functioning at the level we want you to function, to contribute at the level we want you to contribute in Namibia's economy. That should not be the level. So the unfortunate thing is, it would mean, or we would be looking at, into the next 20 years, guys, a possible amendment. I say possible. It's not an outright, set in stone, confirmed anything. It's a possible adjustment to our education system. I say possible. Now the key thing has also been, and before we continue, we're just quickly heading into a short break.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
The International University of Management, IUM, with the Umbo no number no wish we faguja, Omanjirongo or Duataya Academic Year 2023, Okapatruka, Enderinapa if you record a paparoe, mo education, Ukarolong if you got a Ufe or health and social science, or show my fano information and communication technology, or strategic management and leadership, Natai Monica, no tourism, or show hospitality and event management, business administration, Ikuterera, environmental studies and postgraduate studies at Shota de Monica. We're there, Oto Monica ko website, www.ium.edu.na. Ilo tarere po embiro da IUM, di kulipo pepe, mo venduka, mo nkure nkuru, mo nkwe diva, no mo mpae, Ota de Monica. We're there to hangi kongo di ya venduka, 061, ongo di, ne, natunatu, oma veri hamano, inda komesho, kufe tokorori rimonjira, toiko mbona kuiwa inerao, pamwena IUM.
Speak your mind while respecting the opinions of others.
How can you say Namibia was brought on a silver platter when so many people were massacred?
No, that's not what I mean. Mm-hmm. I mean on the silver platter.
In terms of the infrastructure.
Of the infrastructure. Mm-hmm. You know, there were schools, there were roads, there were...
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
To grab that victory against Ivory Coast will be a big one for us. It will be the first...
For social position to raise a child. What does that mean? Baby dumping.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
The commander say hold fire, they hold fire. When the commander says fire, they fire. You know, they are trained to kill. We are trained to arrest people and bring them before court.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
That's why some of us wear unbranded clothes. Because it's about selling their product.
So talk on Eagle FM. Eagle FM, the eye.
Now coming back, let me share with you a key aspect in terms of what was measured from my literature review or my literature aspect. Now, the current educational systems, and I'm just giving you a magnifying glass scenario, a context wherein how to keep for a student or for someone or education system to be impactful, you need the student to absorb the information that is currently on offer or the system that provides the information to the student or the learner currently on offer. And I'm not talking about university students. I'm talking about the high school, secondary school. Now, MIT, which is the Michigan Institute of Technology, which is one of the leading universities there in the US, indicated in their media lab or research from their media lab suggested that brain activity in students is almost non-existent during lectures. Now, remember, what a teacher does is technically also lecturing, just like a lecturer. They are lecturing. However, it's even lower when a child decides to fall asleep during, or learner decides to fall asleep during said classroom session. Now, this is all based from the component where MIT said that students or learners are not always inspired by a lecture, but they are inspired by having choices. So this requires even a look at how we do things like that. Now, I'm not going to go into the manner or the system in which teaching is conducted as well, but it was just an interesting component to factor in as well. because the way information is currently available, guys, you do you know that in some cases you just need a very good internet plan, a tablet or a phablet, you know, which is /phone/tablet, as it can call, it can take a SIM card. You just need something like that, a good internet connection, and you can actually homeschool your child. And, oh yes, electricity, obviously, to charge and to keep the things going. To homeschool. Just those three things. A tablet, an internet connection that's sustainable enough, and electricity. Then you can homeschool a child. You can homeschool a child. And this is still factoring even external, scenarios or conditions. For example, like, parents who are hypersensitive in terms of the crime aspects in the various communities that we all live in, with parents always fearing that, you know, that the children do come home safe every day from the high school that they have to trek to and that they have to trek from back home, the types of friends that they are involved with. Now, if you realize that the entire recipe is just for you to have an internet connection, a tablet, and electricity to teach your child. You yourself can teach your child at home. I'm not advocating that we all, you know, drop the school system, but still, that is an extreme scenario to look at. That's not if you want to take education to your own hands for your own child. It's an extreme scenario. Now, this is all born from, and all this is all born from the developments in educational technology, the developments in mobile devices and tablets, that are extending and providing an end user more capability to absorb this information that I started off, that I indicated at the beginning of today's session. These developments, guys, are not standing still. They are growing, growing, growing. I myself, I've slightly stopped in the last 3 weeks, but there are two key fields of study that I'm actually trying to, you know, skill up on. It's not a component of getting, you know, a certification at the end of the day, because that would mean I have to pay. And the thing is, I'm avoiding having to pay. But my best friend so far in further development has been YouTube. YouTube. I'm watching a video on how to do it, on how to expand a skill set that I already have or develop or improve on my skill sets. And this is also born from some of the, I would say, advice coming from some of my lecturers that I had at NUST. The one lecturer is unfortunately no longer in Namibia. He had to go to better pastures. Let's just, you know, encapsulate it in that sense. He went to better pastures. But he even said, don't look, as a media student, don't just look at Namibia. Don't look at Namibia. At that stage, I didn't, you know, the bell didn't sound off to say, well, why not? Because traditionally, coming from my marketing training and marketing exposure and experience, anyone would tell you from a marketing philosophy component is that you've got to develop a local consumption. You've got to develop local consumption, a local market. And I was like conflicted in understanding how do you bridge over from being someone that creates a service or product or good in Namibia, but selling to someone on the rest of the continent. How does that work? You know, there's a lot of international things to look at. Not just trade frameworks or trade policies, but then also legal framework and legal policies and also tax framework and tax policies. And then you've got to look at, you know, how. But then I realized, the more and more and more I got entrenched, especially in terms of understanding the usefulness, how what the internet brings to you. I'm sorry, I have to say it, but this is what the internet does. The internet actually generates internet-based industries and economies. It does. It does. It does. I have been convinced, guys. I have truly been converted. Now, that key thing itself itself, that key component itself, has been the single most impactful instrument in human society for the past 30 years, the internet. You can follow the timeline. The more the internet was allowed to be made available to the general public, not just in Namibia, you can look, take a timeline all across the world. Things like music or the music industry, things like the movie, the entertainment industries or the entertainment bubbles, realize they can reach so much more people from so much more places. You can bring Russia to someone here in Tsume. They just have to watch travel videos about someone going around a country explaining the history and contexts of where they find themselves or the locations they find themselves in. It helps you with a worldly understanding. And yes, guys, I'm sharing this with you because that's where things will go. That's where things will go. Now, the downside to internet or internet technologies or internet infrastructure is that you always need the backup of electricity. Now, I'm factoring electricity into this internet or actually this education discussion because education, essentially, if it has to reach the next level, it will need the internet infrastructure, firstly, to support it, its rollout. It's an obvious next step that you have to include. If you want education to be impactful, you've got to take the step in terms of upgrading and developing internet infrastructure so that schools or school facilities actually has this in their setting. And from that component, obviously you've got to look at electricity supply. Now, the task force mentioned with their measurements, their own measurements, obviously we didn't hear anything from NamPower, but their measurements was that Namibia is rated at a level of 56% in terms of electricity coverage, which is, according to them and the measurement that Namibia was, you know, rated under or rated for, it is pretty average in terms of Namibia's comparison to other countries on the continent and also in the SADC region. It's comparative. I say comparative, not competitive. The reason this is, the task force found out, is that these are the fundamentals in terms of what the fourth industrial revolution is being assessed on in each country according to the World Economic Forum's future of production scale or future of production measurements. What is there that allows or produces a conducive environment for the future of production? The future of production. We're not looking at the current state of production, the future of production. You see, what allows modern countries and economies to thrive in terms of, if you had to look at a transport system, you had to look at utility system, which is water and electricity in our sense. You had to look at communication infrastructure because communication infrastructure essentially was born from the telecommunications, meaning telephone-based infrastructure. Telephone-based infrastructure then kept upgrading and upgrading. Then that's how we got cellular communication. Then from cellular communication, obviously came the next extension in terms of connectedness being fiber. Fiber then leads to a satellite. And in all those senses, it's to make telecommunications, which actually forms part of the overall communication infrastructure in a country or in an economy, to be as resilient and robust as possible. Meaning, if you bring in a new process, you know you would not have to upgrade the infrastructure that much. You need to probably just make accommodations in terms of, you know, looking at the next 10 years ahead. What could change?
Paratus Mobile LTE. Everything you want, whenever you want it. Start uploading, downloading, liking, and sharing all your experiences with the world. Starting from 345 Namibian dollars per month, excluding VAT for postpaid. Get online with high-speed internet the way you want it. Visit paratus.africa/NA for more information.
Now we come back from our short break. The other key thing in terms of that I'm going to share now with you from the education perspective for the fourth industrial revolution is in the recommendations phase that the task force presented yesterday. I kept looking while also obviously recording and ensuring that I'm capturing the data for On the Radar and also for the business at two discussion is that there was some key aspects that I picked up from the presentation of the final report to the head of state is that when it came to the education component, there were these various abbreviations signaling towards various departments and agencies and ministries of government structure. Now remember, yesterday I mentioned the research and development. Now research and development, as you would know, as I also indicated at the beginning of this program, has to be affiliated to an education-based system, or it will be, if it's in a private sense, meaning in a private organization sense, it would be affiliated so that, you know, you can actually extract information based upon this. For example, a lot of the reports that I've sometimes found about global economic trends, where things are going, come from accounting and auditing firms where they actually have an outlook on an economic scenario, an outlook on an industry, an outlook on a sector in an economy. They have an outlook, what they expect, what they forecast, and how they anticipate the latest trends to impact certain moves to occur in these sectors or industries. Now that points to research and development in a private organizational sense. It points in that direction. I've regularly mentioned to you the book that I've read, that I have read 5 years back, because I don't like going back to the same book. If it's not a textbook, I won't go back to the same book. But in that book by the two Stevens, I just call them the two Stevens. The book's name is Think Like a Freak, where they even indicated in one chapter, the chapter was knowing when to quit, or it's all right to say you want to give up on something. You want to stop a project. Now, in this book, in that specific chapter, there's a company that exists in the United States that actually tests whether or not a business or product concept will fail. It's a stress test scenario. A company that only exists to stress test. Stress testing is to see what are the limits of a business idea or of a product idea. Stress testing. And you know what this is? It's research and development. Before a product can go out or before a business idea can be fully rolled out, it is stress tested. It is something I see regularly because I'm an avid gamer. I play games. I play computer games. I'm honest. I don't touch PlayStation 5s and Xboxes because that's lazy gaming. I'm going to be honest. That is lazy gaming. I play computer games. In computer games, you can see, and I've been observing this for the past 3-4 years, what the game development companies do is that they build a game in phases. So first they will have a closed session for testing to see how the game mechanics work. From that closed session, after developments and adjustments have taken place, they take it to the next level, which becomes alpha testing. Alpha testing is where you now invite a select group, almost like a focus group, of consumers to test the product. they don't buy it because it's not complete. So you can't ask someone to buy an incomplete product. So you actually invite them to test something. They test it. They give their feedback back to the developers. The developers go back, amend. In this whole process, there's still further development going on in the product. Then this product is then once taken to the beta. They follow the Greek, you know, numbering or the Greek alphabet system. From alpha, which was like the first sort of like open testing allowed to a broader focus group or broader community to test the product. They garner or they gather the information from the testing, adjustments, fix it up, polish it a little bit more. They come back and in a semi-complete format, or in, not a format, in a semi-complete form. Then they release it in beta testing. Beta testing is once again just at a bigger scale than alpha testing. The community comes back, larger focus group of consumers. They test the product. They give their feedbacks. The company goes back with its developers, finish it all up. And this is a process of at least 2 years, guys. At least 2 years. And this is just one product. This is just one industry, an entertainment industry product, a game, a computer game. Then when the developers come back, they roll it out full scale with a price tag. You pay for it. That is also research and development, stress testing. That is also research and development. Now, the main thing here is, there has been a focus by our education system to some parts, to some extents, to try and get the involvement of, if it's not girls, then it's also various communities that do not have exposure to especially the resources needed to boost the STEM fields or the STEAM fields of education. This would then once again require to take a different approach as well in terms of not dropping the STEAM and STEM fields in the education component or educating aspect, but rather finding a way to still maintain that and then still bring in the new information that you have to learn. Now understand, guys, you cannot just go and learn science on your own on one side. How do you learn English? You cannot just go and learn history on it. Okay, actually, if you learned history on its own, it would be sufficient. History and geography, I know. I might be, you know, touting a little bit that history and geography actually are pretty good subjects, because they are pretty good subjects and they are very interesting subjects. You cannot deny it. They're way better than English. They're way better than any science subject out there. But still, if you just had to look at history and geography, which actually just is history in one big sense, history and geography itself would help you to understand the world around you. It would also help you to absorb and learn new information, because if you can remember the difference between a hill, a little knoll, and what is just a little small landscape. If you know what the difference between the various kinds of features on topography is, you're fine. If you can remember important dates with important people and at specific events, you'll be fine. You'll be fine. But the thing is, our educational system unfortunately will change, guys. It's an amateur attempt at a prediction and a forecast, but it will change. It is an amateur attempt at a prediction and a forecast, but it will change. Because the task force indicated that there needs to be an amendment. They didn't stress it as saying, yeah, we need to completely do something. But if we're going to look at the fourth industrial revolution, that means you've got to boost the performance or the probability of Namibians being involved at every phase and at every step going ahead in this discussion of the fourth industrial revolution. You've got to increase their chances of making it a success. You've got to increase and boost their ability to perform. You've got to boost and increase their probability to actually generate value for other Namibians. And that is the big challenge out there. Now, let me inform you now. This is still early days. This was just a final report feedback. This was just telling the head of state what is the situation in the country before Namibia goes full scale to try and embark on an ambition or an aspiration of achieving the land, the promised land of the fourth industrial revolution. This is still baby steps here. Where we are still in the baby steps zone. So the major thing here is, guys, right now, the opportunity is you've got to, well, technically make use of every opportunity at being aware of any educational moves. If you're still on school or still on university, learn extra information, gather extra information. University has changed between the two qualifications that I've done so far. University life has changed in the format that you can actually bring more value to your institution than the first time, you know, with my first qualification, where I had to try to extract as much information from the institution. Now in the second one, you actually have to contribute as much information to the value of your tertiary institution where you find yourself. But this is the key thing. This is the big challenge as well. You've got to find that balance. And how does that balance achieved? That balance obviously has to come with some form of congruence, some form of cohesion, some form of being streamlined so that everything actually benefits everyone. Now, I still have a minute and a half to go, but here's the important thing. This was actually part two of our session for this entire week, because I've broken down this fourth industrial revolution presentation scenario. So yes, I'm signaling to you, we will be taking a different component for tomorrow night. This key component actually has to look at internet connectivity. I will come back to internet connectivity because I touched on internet connectivity in June and in July as well. But I will come back to internet connectivity for tonight. Not for tonight, for tomorrow night. In that same program, here's the key, guys. Here is the major thing. And this is, even though as the matrix for some reason is sitting here smiling, but still, she's allowed to smile. But still, the key thing here is we've got to understand where we want to find ourselves. Listen, guys, and this is all also for the generations to come. Whether you find yourself now at the age of 15, you've got to factor in where you want to be in the broader Namibian economy. You've actually should have made a decision on where you want to find yourself. Because if you find yourself in the 35 to 45 zone, the 45 to 55 zone, the 55 to 65 zone, these are the guys that are currently in the zones of the current production levels that the current country can accommodate. We are in the spaces to produce the production levels or to meet the production requirements, to produce work and value and products and services for the country as it currently is, with its current needs, with its current scope and scale for business, for private sector, for public sector, for services consumption, for products consumption. This is what we currently have. But if you find yourself between the 15 to 25 year and 25 to 34 year old bracket, there's a bigger onus on you to try and revamp and carry the things forward. I'm not saying that, you know, us from 35 up are old. Listen, we are human. listen, it's a matter of opinion. Doesn't matter who it is. But the thing is, we can all learn and we can all adapt and we can all scale up. On that note, enjoy the rest of your evening and stay tuned for the rest of your programming. Let's see each other again, same time, same place tomorrow.